are back, bigger and better. My name is Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Welcome to the RDM podcast. I'm not alone in the studio, but before I introduce the people with me, we are going to be discussing a topic that I think is crucial in the times that we're in. We're going to go on from the discussion we had some time back. We're going to be discussing the lawless one, the man of sin. He has many names, but around that, the end time and is he alive? We're going to discuss about all that. Next to me is Afi Money Bags. He's a business guru and a man who is a big thinker and versed with a lot of things in various spheres in life. Maki, you're welcome.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
Next to him is a man, Dave Njanavo. Dave Njanavo is a writer. He's about to be an author of how many books?
Two books.
Nice, yeah?
And Dave has a lot of input into what we're going to discuss. Dave, you're welcome.
Good to be here.
And next to me is the lady in the house.
The only lady in the house.
Maria Kemgesa. Maria just graduated with a bachelor's degree in business.
Administration,
yes. And she's specializing in accounts.
Yes.
And based on the discussion that we're going to have, we know that it might tread into the financial area, but we also want to know what people in Maria's generation think about what's going on at this time.
True.
So, gentlemen and lady, we are in crucial times.
Yeah.
We are in prophetic acceleration. A lot of things are happening faster than we ever thought. There's no generation before us that could claim the return of Christ more pertinent than our generation.
Mm.
There are a lot of things taking place. We've discussed one world economy, new world order. We've discussed the decline of America.
Yeah.
And now we're saying that there is someone coming. Mm. Someone who personally I believe is alive and well, somewhere seated, watching as the scene is being set for him.
Mm.
That there is someone coming who is going to come and be the very epitome of evil on the face of this earth. You know what I'm talking about, McLean?
Yeah, the Antichrist.
Yes, the Antichrist. And what do you know about him?
All I know is I don't want to be here when he is here. Because there's going to be a lot of evil with him, and there's going to be a lot of control. There's no free angle. There's nothing of this is what I thought, this is what... No, it's either this or not. Mm. He's going to be totally against Christ.
Right. So. You know, in the book of Revelations, the Bible says that the Apostle John was taken up into the Spirit. And when he was taken up into the Spirit, actually in chapter 4, chapter 5, he's taken up to the throne of God. And he sees things happening in heaven. He sees things happening on earth. He sees things happening under the earth. And he sees things happening in the sea. Now, this is important. We understand that there's a culmination of all things as we come to the point of the return of Christ and before that, the rapture. All these four areas have to reveal something. Okay? We're already waiting for something to happen in the heavens. There are individuals that are going to show up at some point.
Yeah.
All right? But we ain't seen nothing yet. There's a lot happening on earth right now. Evil is at its peak. All right?
Mm.
And it will only get worse because the restraining force, the church, is still around. Then we haven't yet seen things under the ground. Huh? There are things that are going to reveal themselves. Perhaps I'll talk about that when we touch it. Then there are things that are going to happen in the sea. Trust you, me. Huh? You think, you know, the earth is 70% water.
Yes.
And we've discovered just 5% of it. Just by probability, there have to be some weird stuff inside there that no one has ever seen. As we see, as time goes on, we're going to start seeing creatures that they discover, people that will see things in the waters that will shock people. You will see it. Then underground, there are also events that are going to happen under the ground, especially with the fact that the earth is you know, that if you did your geography, the earth is core, mantle, crust. And there are things that are going to happen with the core of the earth, even with the axis of the planet. You know, it rotates on a particular axis. There are things that are going to happen to shift that axis. And that's when you'll know that Yeah. things are happening. Dave, tell us about what you know about this age.
But like Clint said, I don't want to be around when it happens. What seems to be happening lately is everyone seems to have an opinion. And the topic of the Antichrist is one that's trending. Mm. Everywhere you go, there's someone who thinks, is it this person? Is it that? Is it the other person? But there's a lot that's happened in the world that gets you thinking, when is this? It's imminent. You just feel there's a vibe in the air that it's imminent. And things seem to be, every preaching is down to end times.
So when is it coming?
So I can't give it the next 20 years. It should be here.
20 years. Yeah. Okay. Maria, what do you have to say?
It feels like we are living in a movie of Legend. Uh-huh. Like, one season ends and you're entering into a different one. It's very interesting. But I think it's mainly about how people are awakening to spirituality. Yeah, it's not just about churchgoers. It's either the divide is more clear of late. It's either you're in the dark world or you're in the light. There's no differentiating, and people are okay with their sides. Yeah, people will freely talk about how they've seen demons, how they entertain demons on social media blankly. Yeah, and once you judge them, they call you someone who's not open-minded. Yeah, and once a Christian talks about something different, angels and like the heavens, it's complicated. They're like, you're trying to suppress us, you're trying to rule us, telling us that what we are doing is wrong. Yeah, so it's an interesting age.
There's this word woke. Explain to me what that means.
I'm not really that conversant with it, but it's mainly about people who aren't open-minded. Yes. Who aren't open-minded, once you're not agreeable to what the trend is, to what people believe in, they believe you're not woke, you're not awakened.
So if you're woke, you're progressive. Exactly. Okay? Yeah. So you're more
aggressive, you're moving forward, you're trendy, and that's what happens.
And it's interesting she brings in the openness, because that's something that I believe in this time, and even more to happen, will be that thought of you need to be open, you need to accept, And like we said in the previous session, it's something that will help to create fertile ground, okay, for the Antichrist to come in. Because now we will not be able to tell whether this is right or this is wrong, okay? But thank God we have the scriptures to help us with that.
And indeed, before the resurrection of Christ, there was no discussion about the Antichrist. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, in the Bible, there are symbolisms of the Antichrist. Hopefully, we'll touch that. But before the resurrection, there was no discussion. Then we start seeing in the New Testament, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then even in Revelations. The Antichrist is mentioned in 1st and 2 John continuously, about 4 times. And then you start realizing, that's when the name comes out. And then from that time onwards, from the early church, there was this spread of a person that will come that everyone should look out for. Now, in 1 John, John himself is speaking and he says that you have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Then he says, indeed, many Antichrists have come. Now, there's what we call the Antichrist spirit, or the spirit of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
That, from my perception and my studies, it started all the way from the fall of Lucifer in heaven. Because it's a spirit that tries to usurp Christ. You're with me?
Yes. Yeah? Yes.
Okay? So it doesn't just deny him. Now, Antichrist is not just against Christ. It can also mean instead of
Christ.
Okay? So this spirit began when Lucifer was brought down and has been replicating itself ever since. So the first person in the Bible it replicates itself in is Cain.
Yes.
Cain is the Antichrist, and he kills the righteous seed. Then it replicates itself again in Nimrod, Tower of Babel. I could show you throughout Scripture continuously. It also replicates itself in the story of Esther. His Haman. Haman tries to wipe out the Jews. You with me?
Yes.
Then it leaves Bible history and replicates itself in natural history. there was a man called Antiochus Epiphanes who tried to wipe out the Jews. In fact, the Bible prophesies about him in the book of Daniel. He entered the temple at that time, okay, slaughtered a pig and declared himself God. That was the first abomination of desolation, a precursor of the Antichrist that would come. Okay? So Antiochus Epiphanes, when people saw him at that time, they said, oh my God, the Antichrist has come. Hmm? But he was not. In fact, even just the name Antiochus.
We are reading it.
Okay. But I'm setting a foundation, then you guys are coming.
Yes.
So Antiochus Epiphanes is the closest to history, in history, that has come to the actual image of what the Antichrist is supposed to be. Because everything he did, he killed Jews, went into the temple, sat, declared himself God. The actual spirit was on him. Now, because the devil does not have access to the timing of God, in every generation, almost every 100 years, there's been an Antichrist that comes up in preparation, because he does not know when the time is, when the rapture will happen. Because the revelation of the Antichrist will depend
on
the restraining force, the Holy Spirit and the church being
taken away.
So Antiochus Epiphanes was the first. Throughout history, as you go on, Nero was the first ruler to directly persecute Christians. Nero, in fact, they say Nero killed Peter and Paul. A guy was obsessed. Okay, Nero dies because at that time they thought, in Peter and Paul's time, they thought he was the Antichrist. Okay, Nero dies. Then throughout history, we've seen people, Hitler comes, kills 6 million Jews. At that time, they thought this is the Antichrist, but it was not him. Okay, there's some people, of course, there are weak links, Saddam Hussein, Obama, and those are weak. Weekly, people were fishing, but there were people who actually had the spirit. So the spirit has been replicating itself, and now we're waiting for it to come in its full force. Not so, Dave.
Huh? It's a tough one, like you say. Someone will argue in the Bible, it's actually, they say Jesus didn't actually mention an Antichrist. Paul in Revelations doesn't actually, the reference is to the lawless one. The one of lawlessness. When John even has that reference of there are many antichrists and this is the end of times, and everyone thought he's actually in the first century, he's saying this is going to, the world ends now. So in the culmination now, everyone seems to be, like in those days, pointing at different figures. There are figures we have in our heads who we think it should be this one, it should be that one. Maybe it's crucial that the church itself, as the restraining force, can. I don't know if we need some kind of direction as to when, when this man comes, or what we should be doing as he's imminent on us.
Maria.
But when we say, I want to ask. Rabbi, when we say the church, are we meaning Christians, or are we meaning like the gathering? I don't get it, like that, because everyone keeps saying the church, yeah? And yet I think it's more of individuals, groups, a communion, of people, believers, that will be able to restrain them. But if we keep drawing this attention, I feel like if we keep drawing the attention to church, people lose the urgency need. Yeah? It's more like, okay, the church will come, because I'll be there, and I'm like, the church will figure this out.
But you're the church.
Yet I'm the church. Yes. So, in my view, I feel like we should tell people like you are supposed to. You're the restraining force. Not the church is the restraining force. Yeah,
it's like saying the government. Taking yourself out of the equation.
That's an interesting view to come about.
What I want to ask is a question, but also a contribution to the subject. I'm interested in understanding the difference between the spirit of the Antichrist and the Antichrist. Because in my opinion, the spirit of the Antichrist has been manifesting itself over the years, like you carefully put it. But the Antichrist is a specific person who will show up at a specific time, okay, with a specific agenda. Now, Dave was asking, when will he show up?
Mm.
Okay, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but in the scriptures, he talks about the Antichrist showing up, signing a peace treaty with Israel.
Mm.
I believe that will be the time when we know that he is here, when that peace treaty is signed. Now, the reason why I asked the difference between the spirit of the Antichrist and the Antichrist is because over time, even in the previous session, you hinted on it, that there have been attempts for countries to broker peace deals in the Middle East,
and that failed,
which I believe is the spirit still of, you know, the Antichrist, but it's not the Antichrist. So if you could just pick it up from there and throw more light on the spirit of the Antichrist and the Antichrist.
Okay, let's look at it. You need to understand this. Listen, the Bible talks about the spirit of Jezebel. That's different from Jezebel. Okay? In other words, there was a spirit that operated through her that had specific characteristics that the Bible would later, or nowadays, will refer to as a spirit of Jezebel in order to identify those particular characteristics. But it does not mean it's Jezebel herself. Okay? Let me clear that. The spirit of Christ is also something mentioned in scripture. There's a spirit of Elijah, the spirit, many spirits. So spirits usually refer to almost an attitude or characteristics that you can use to identify what is working through someone. Now, the Antichrist is definitely going to be a person. Let me go through the names, because I wrote them down. The names of this person in scripture. We have the beast, which is not just a person, will also be linked to a system. We have the man of lawlessness. Now, my perception through study is that he's called a man of lawlessness, not just because he will cause lawlessness, but also he'll do something that many, the number of leaders in the past have been doing. He will be the kind of person who will stir up trouble secretly, then come to seize the trouble he has stirred up. You understand? If you look through history, we had people like this. There are rumors that actually the president, the current president of Russia, Putin, that when he was on his way to entering into power, there was an attack in which a number of people were killed in Russia, and the rumors are that he actually orchestrated the attack and then came in as savior. Hitler. Okay, there was an attack on the parliament in Berlin at that time. I think it was bombed or burnt. He came in as savior, but rumors are
he's the one who started it.
Nero blamed the burning of Rome on Christians. You understand, and that's what caused him to persecute the Christians. He blamed them on the burning of Rome. But the rumors are he started the fire and then went after Christians. So there's a trait of the Antichrist. You understand what I'm talking about? There's a specific trait. That's why he's called a man of lawlessness. Because scripture also refers to him as a man of peace and war. You understand? So he will come in, cause something, then comes in as savior. And a lot of governments do that today. The Bible also refers to him as the abomination, okay? The lawless one, the little horn, the fierce-looking king, the ruler who will come, the contemptible one, the strong-willed king, the worthless shepherd. Now, I have to read this one from the worthless shepherd because it's in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 16 to 17. I found it interesting. It says, "For I am going to raise up a shepherd over the land who will not care for the lost, or seek the young, or heal the injured, or feed the healthy. But he will eat the meat of the choice sheep, tearing off their hoofs. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock." That's one of the names. Then, of course, the most common one is the Antichrist. So there are very names that Jesus himself, when speaking, said, "When I come, you do not receive me. However, when another comes in his name, you will receive him." He didn't mention him by name. I said, you will receive him. So the highlights in scripture of this particular person who is coming. And I've told people over time that just like when Jesus came and he was the epitome of love on earth, there's a guy coming who will be the epitome of evil on earth. You think you've seen wickedness. Huh? Thank God we shall be watching it from a pavilion somewhere in heaven, first class. But you think you've seen wickedness. And the interesting thing is that this chap is alive right now. Huh? Seated somewhere. Something is restraining him because he can't come out before his time, like the Bible says. He'll be revealed in his own time. But the scripture says in Daniel chapter 11, 32, that he will ascend into power through flattery. So he will use a lot of trickery and wisdom and deceit and somehow get into power. So from a physical perspective, he won't be a person who will say, you know, when we used to play games that when we were young, the weakest person was always the last to be chosen. You understand?
Yeah.
So he's not a person who, from the natural point of view, you'd pick. But he has to ascend power through flattery. You with me?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when you were reading the names and then you read that scripture, it's the total opposite of that parable that Jesus shared of the shepherd who has 100 sheep. And if you lose one, what do you do? If you're a good shepherd. And you know, and we know that Christ is a good shepherd, like we're his sheep. But this is totally the opposite.
Yes, and you see, guys, let me tell you something. I want to give you a few traits that I think are important. I explained that Antichrist means doesn't just mean against Christ. It also means instead of Christ. That means the traits of the Antichrist must be similar and yet contradictory to the traits of the Christ. And I'm going to explain. Then we'll go deeper into it. So, he must be born of a woman. You see? You understand? It can't be some good spirit that just comes on earth and takes over. He has to be born of a woman. The Bible says the heavens, even the highest heavens, belong to the Lord. The earth has he given to men. So in order, just like Jesus had to come as a spirit, get born of a woman, the Antichrist has to be born. So currently right now, there is, and if he's born of a woman, he's a human. Yeah, you're with me?
Yeah.
So he's not some good thing aside. Now, I'm going to explain that. So he's a human being. There's a part in the book of Revelation that says, John says, and I saw a beast, referring to the Antichrist, rising out of the sea. Then later in Revelation 17, John explains what that sea is. He says, the sea are the people, the nations. So this beast is rising out of people. He's human.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So he will look just as normal as you and I. Okay? That's the first trait. If you want to add in on that, this now is the time to do so. Nothing yet. So he will be born of the woman. Secondly, not only will he be born of a woman, just like Jesus was on earth and his identity was concealed until the appointed time. The Antichrist is here, but his identity is concealed.
Again, back to sealed.
You understand?
Yes.
His identity is concealed until the appointed time. Okay? That's why Jesus turned to Mary and said, do you not know my time has not yet come? And things like that. Now, what that means is that the fact that Jesus ended up doing a miracle before his time meant that seasons can be changed. And that's why even the revelation of the Antichrist, the season can be changed based on the response
of the church.
You with me? Am I doing too much talking?
No, sir.
So he also must walk on earth just like Jesus did. He's doing that now. His blood must be pure. Now, I'm going to explain. How? Jesus' blood had to be a particular blood in order to save. Are you with me?
Yeah. Mm.
This guy, if you've studied how Illuminati and all these guys work, they raise up their children to go to specific schools, meet specific people, hang around specific, because they're keeping them pure, marry specific individuals because of the purity of the blood, the lineage.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So this guy will not come from just any random family. You understand?
Mm.
It doesn't have to be a well-known family, but it will not be random, because wickedness has to run through the blood. That's what I'm talking about. It has to be pure in that sense. Okay? Just like Jesus did not marry, I'm expecting this guy will not. There's no time for marriage. He's come for wickedness. You get what I'm saying? The guy has come for wickedness. So his blood is pure. In that sense, it's pure evil. It has been pertained. He comes from a lineage of people. But it's also, and that having been said, it's interesting because in scripture, there are some who say that he must come from the lineage of David, just like Jesus did. Because the Jews at some point accept him as Messiah, and the Jews can only accept a person
from their own.
Are you getting what I mean?
Yeah.
They can't accept anyone else as Messiah unless you have some bloodline that comes from the lineage of David. Now, my question to that is that's actually a very vital point. And my question is, how do you test if someone is from the lineage of David? I'm very curious. Some people might have the answer for me there, but I don't know how they'll do that.
Recently, of late, celebrities have this thing of where they trace back their heritage. You find someone talking about, I'm Egyptian, my parents were from the Arabic side of this world and what, so they check trips and all that. So there are people who actually do that. They really test, they take your blood and they do like that test and everything, so they connect it like till your point of origin. Yes, so I think that's how they'll be able to trace it
so
back.
It's possible he might have some Jewish blood in him. Then also I have but this is only a theory. I have to stress that, but I believe the theory to be more than a theory. That he might trace himself back to the lineage of Cain.
Yeah.
You see, in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, Cain's lineage just ends. But he's only here on earth. Please understand. The Bible just, it's Genesis 4:26, it just comes to an end. Okay? Not an end in that people died, they just stopped mentioning
it. Just went silent.
That lineage there has been kept secret. It's still here on earth somewhere. There's something happening. There are people here who have... so it's possible he's also from that. But we know that he will be very, very human. Another thing is that, just like Jesus at John the Baptist, he must have someone
who announces
Who will be?
The false prophet.
There we go. Be the false prophet. Who will have to be a religious leader. Are you with me? Someone has to announce.
And it has to be someone who has influence. Yeah. Someone who can garner a following. Not just some random chap, no.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you say, even before Jesus came, there were those who came and said they were the Messiah.
Yeah.
So even before something like this has to happen, I don't know if we'll have like a series of antichrists showing up before the
action. No. They've already been showing up. We said the spirit of the antichrist has been replicating itself. So in the same way, just like in my studies, like in 400 years, the 400 years of silence in the Bible, that's between Malachi and Matthew, were 400 years of silence. We'll go into why they call that some other time. But in that period of time, about 15 people came up calling themselves Messiah. 15 before the actual Jesus showed up. So there have been many antichrists who have come up. Another trait is that this guy must come in symbolism, in the symbolism of an animal, just like Jesus did. Jesus came as a lamb. He will come as a beast.
This is the opposite.
The beast eats the lamb.
And even scripture talks about it.
Scripture does talk about
in
it.
In Revelations.
Yes.
He calls him a beast.
Yes.
And then that also exactly. That's also what I want to talk about. Yeah. It says the second beast was heeding to the instructions of the first beast.
Yes.
You know, so.
And you see in Daniel 8:23, it's an interesting scripture because it says that he will have knowledge of dark sayings, which are parables. That's what the scripture says. The Antichrist will have knowledge of dark sayings. That means it's possible he will use them, but also be able to look at things and interpret them. Unlike other people who will be able to do so. So he has a knowledge of spirituals. Just like Jesus, who used a lot of dark sayings and parables. Are you seeing how he's coming?
Yes.
Then he declares himself God. Just like Jesus. Declared himself God. So it's a spirit that's constantly. But there's a scripture in Revelation 13:2 that shocked me. It said, I'm going to read it out. It said, he was given power. The dragon gave him power, a seat, and authority. Okay? Now, please understand, the devil has many people who have served him since he fell. Many who are human beings. This is the first person in all history who he will give his throne. Not just power.
And authority.
Because the dragon gave him his throne, his power, and his authority. A replica. Are you seeing what's happening? Yeah? So we are seeing a replication of someone. And the Bible says he will do miracles and wonders. And people will be awed at this individual that can be able to do these things. I want to explain to you something. That just like Jesus for 30 years did no miracle until he was baptized. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then after that he was taken into the wilderness. And the devil appears to him. And says, all these kingdoms have been given unto me. He says, I can give them to you. And Jesus refuses. This guy will walk the earth. Has been walking the earth. No more. With a slight knowledge of what who he could be. Just like Jesus did. He knew he was at 12. He knew he was supposed to be the Son of God. But he even knew his identity. He knew his assignment. But he did no miracle, nothing to show people. This guy taking a walk on earth.
Just polishing his...
But power and authority and throne are not yet given to him. Not yet. Even as we speak now, I'm telling you, he does not have power. Until, just like the Spirit appeared to him, appeared to Jesus, this time that Spirit will appear, offer kingdoms, and this time the person will accept. Are you getting better?
Opposite of what Christ
did. Christ did. So this time, a person will accept. Okay? And that's how the devil will now have his anti-Christ. Guys, wait, I've been talking for a while.
Yeah, it's one of those topics you could listen.
Wow, but you know the beauty of it is, like I say, at the end of the day, thank God we're believers. When he's here, we will not be here. We will not be here.
But these sayings will still be there. This that we are doing right now, there will still be people on earth and they'll be have the opportunity to listen to this.
They will.
But will they be able to believe and like actually realize that this is the truth, or they'll refuse to actually give their lives to Christ?
That's interesting.
Although I believe in that time it will be a very tricky time. It won't be as free as it is now. I believe there will be a lot of censorship in terms of what gospel can be preached, what message can be spread.
They will. There's actually one final sign that I believe that will cause people to just bow before this guy. Just like Jesus died and resurrected, he will die and resurrect. The Bible says in Revelation 13:3 that his head is wounded, or one of his heads, as the Bible says, wounded. And everyone presumes him dead. Then it miraculously heals and he rises. And people are astounded. Have you seen how he's just replicating?
So there's bound to be a lot of deception.
Yes.
And like you're asking, will people still believe? There'll be something they can believe.
But it's on
and,
the
and
wrong
in those
end
times, they say you can't even say, try and get to salvation. What? That's not something you can do. So you're believing on something that you're seeing is actually has power, has, if it's someone resurrected.
And you see, the thing is that this guy is going to be given a platform. We talked about in the past discussion about the decline of America,
yes,
and the rise of the East. There's a dragon in the East that is China, and there's a bear in the East that is Russia. Then there will be 10 kings, literally 10 dictators at that time, that will give their powers over to this man. And he will do what his will. The Bible says, if you see when it calls him a little horn, it says that a little horn showed up and was speaking words. That means you have oratory power, intellectual power. You will have, he will be a military genius. All the things that you think is a perfect man on top. Well, Jesus had no appeal. He will have
appeal.
Especially when that spirit, that good spirit rests on him. You understand?
Yes.
You'll be dealing, people will be dealing with evil personified.
And we are climaxing to that moment.
We are. We are climaxing. And you see, yes, the other day I was explaining that Revelation 20 says that the Antichrist, it says the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. This thing, it's one of the most strange. First of all, we agreed, people don't know how to distinguish between hell and the lake of fire. They're not the same thing. Hell is a keeping place. The lake of fire is the
final destiny.
And there is no such thing as, when you're in the lake of fire, there's no such thing as that somehow in eternity you will die and you disintegrate.
That's the end of it. That's the end of the suffering.
Eternal suffering versus eternal.
So technically all of us will live forever.
Yeah. The question is just on which side will you be living forever?
So all you'll burn forever.
Now, here's the interesting thing, because I said this guy, just like Jesus was God-man, this guy will have to be man-beast, man-Satan or something like that. But there will be something so inhuman about him that, because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed for each man to die once, then thereafter, judgment. In other words, you stand before your maker. If you read through the book of Revelations, the Antichrist, the false prophet, especially those two, because the dragon is a spirit, the devil, those two, there's no place where they stand before God for judgment. They are just thrown directly. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's something inhuman
about him.
Because it's only humans who come to that place of judgment. Nice.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's something inhuman.
Meaning, because we are trying to relate Christ to him, the way Christ wasn't conceived through the normal way, like man and woman, by a spirit. Can we? Do you think this son, the Antichrist, is not going to be conceived through man and woman? It's going to be through woman himself, herself.
I actually think it will be the divine aspect was only for Jesus. So I think it will be an actual man and a woman. I believe that here we're just hypothesizing because it's not in scripture, but I was trying to use the traits. I don't think it will be a divine birth. I don't think so, because that miracle is strictly limited to to the Christ. But I know that just like something cosmic and strange happened when Jesus was born, there's something strange that would have happened when this I was going to say nigger.
That will mark his arrival.
That will mark his arrival. So he's going to be given power. He's going to be in charge of what many theologians believe is the European Union. Okay? And then he will wage war. Okay? And I was explaining in the last session that we had that there are three wars that are coming. The River Euphrates War. It's mentioned in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. This is an interesting scripture. I don't know if you can go there and we read it. And then after that, we're going to show a clip. I just want us to get ready for that clip. We're going to get ready for it. But before we show it, I want us to read Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12, because it's a part of scripture that I think is very, very interesting and puts certain things into perspective on what exactly I think is going on in this time and age and what we should look out for. Go ahead.
Yeah, Revelation 16, 12 says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared."
Are you listening to this? So, anyway, I'll have some men who actually spend their time studying eschatology to answer this. Let's show this clip. Let's watch it.
Syria's longest river has receded, parching trees and leaving families of local farmers without water to drink. Aid groups and engineers have warned of a looming humanitarian disaster in northeast Syria. Plummeting water levels at hydroelectric dams have led to power cuts for up to 5 million Syrians since January. This comes in the middle of a pandemic and economic crisis. The Euphrates runs for almost 2,800 kilometers across Turkey, Syria, and Iraq. It irrigates swathes of land in Syria and runs through three hydroelectric dams that provide power and drinking water to millions. However, over the past 8 months, the river has contracted and increasing the risk of dam turbines grinding to a halt. Experts say that there is an alarming drop in water levels, which has not been witnessed since the dam's completion in 1999. Since January, the water level has plummeted by 5 meters. It hovers just dozens of centimeters above the so-called dead level. Experts say that power generation has already fallen by 70% since last year across northeast Syria. 2 out of 3 of all portable water stations along the river are pumping less water or have stopped working.
Essentially, the river Euphrates is drying up. As of January 2021, it started the acceleration of its drying up took place. The pictures all over the internet.
Yeah.
All right, people are shifting from the area because they were surviving on that river. All right, but clearly it's drying up. Everyone can see it's drying up. Now, my question is, we've just read Revelation 16:12 that says that the sixth angel blew a trumpet. Are you with me? And the river dries up. So either these trumpets are being blown when no one
you can't hear them.
You get what I'm saying, yeah?
Not hearing.
No, people's perception. Actually, that's what's happening. People's perception is that
you'll be able to hear it in this realm. No, that makes sense. That argument makes sense, because it's like when Christ was being baptized, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, okay? Some people, even when he died, like some people had a thunder, but it was God speaking. So if you have the ability to hear that language of the heavenlies, you will hear. If you don't, all you just see is the result of...
Because people, you know, I had a discussion with my brother who was telling me, ah, man, if surely they're blowing trumpets, all I need is to hear one.
And
I give my life to Christ Jesus. You understand? So here a trumpet is being blown and the river is drying up. And why is it drying up? It's preparing for what they call the River Euphrates War, or the War of Gog and Magog, where armies from the east are going to cross over to fight the Antichrist.
To
fight Israel, sorry. So now, please understand, if that river is drying up, this thing cannot be far.
True.
Now, if it's not far, because that is the very next thing on the calendar of God, along with the decline of the US, it's the very next thing. Please understand that right around there, we are going. You understand? We're going. So there's everything is being set up, as the Bible said, and it is a profound prophecy, because the river has never been dry. This river was mentioned in Genesis.
That was the longest. It has been the longest river in Syria.
Yeah.
Longest.
Yes,
it's like someone waking up today and telling you River Nile is drying up. And you know you've been living around it all these years. And
but even with the signs, there's always a counter. Someone says,
nobody
so
doesn't.
There'll always be, maybe there's always something that the dark side uses to explain things. And maybe it's about that whole deception. You keep guys wool over their eyes. So there's nothing they'll ever think. This is actually what... This is a sign of the end times. So you come up with this, the message, and then the other side says, this is global warming.
We are in interesting times. Mm-hmm. We are in a place where I believe, like I've been explaining to you, that this man, the man of lawlessness, is seated somewhere. And there's a force that's restraining him supernaturally. But the day he ascends power, we will have to be around because it's revealed in his time. We see him. But his true power is epitomized because he has to first rise to power.
Mm.
And so he gets it through trickery before he shows his true face.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
So when he shows his true face, we're out of here. Huh? Because at that time, the restraining force will be removed. When that restraining force is removed, please understand. You need to know, the book of Revelations gives some crazy stuff. It talks about demons that are chained, that at some point are released.
Four corners.
That are released. So please understand there are spirits right now on earth that are causing chaos. Huh? But they got nothing compared to these niggas that are coming.
Those are bad.
They got nothing. Nothing that is coming. And the Bible says in those days people will look for death and fail to find it. I was telling someone that if for a person to be a Christian at that time, that means you've been left behind. There's no amount of prayer or fasting that will help you. I need you to understand. Because the Bible says he will be given power to overcome the saints. Power by God is given. He's given power. Leeway. Now if he's given leeway to overcome you, there's no amount of prayer. Please understand. That time will be bad. There's no amount of prayer. I was explaining to someone how I had a vision. Actually, it was a dream. I was caught between realities. And the night before, I was telling the Lord, show me what is to come. Guys, be careful when you ask.
What you ask for.
When you ask such things. Eh? So I found myself in Africa, but specifically Uganda. And I don't even know how to explain it. But Christians, I could tell these were Christians, were running for their lives. Running for their lives. And guys had built makeshift houses under the earth, under graveyards. And under the earth, there people were holding Bibles. But it was nighttime, and the fear was real. So this guy is going to be given power to overcome the saints. And the Bible says, were those days not shortened, no one would what? You understand? This is the kind of thing that we're dealing with. Absolute carnage. Please, Wayne, guys.
So, Rabbi, what would be which type of Christians are going to remain?
Now, you know, someone was asking me, in line with that, someone was asking me, you see, when the rapture occurs and the church is taken, the Spirit of the Lord, who's also the restraining force, is also not here. But please, it doesn't mean that on earth there will be no Holy Spirit. Because potency of the Spirit of God was brought onto earth when Jesus ascended, and on Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord. But there was always a Holy Spirit on earth before that. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So after Jesus ascended, from that time, the presence of the Spirit of God here has been different from what it was before Jesus ascended. Right? Now, when the rapture occurs, it will go back to like it was at that time. The Old Testament saints were there's no Holy Spirit in you, in per se, you're just man.
You literally have to hustle.
You're rolling down a hill.
But still, but still, the Lord will. He won't leave them abandoned like what? Like orphans. They will be people in that time, because the greatest harvest of believers will happen after the rapture. I believe that it's even scripture. Okay? A huge harvest will occur and billions will come to Christ, simply because I've seen someone, and we're talking about the previous session when we said someone is asking, when you get raptured, do your clothes go with you?
Yeah. So that's why the Bible says happier are those who believe without seeing.
Rabbi, in the during the tribulation time, this is where the 144,000 Jews come in.
Yeah.
Correct? From the 12 tribes of Israel. I want to ask a question, because at some point we see from time, ever since we know time, the devil has tried to replicate what God has done. So I'm drawing your attention to the time in which Christ had his ministry here on earth, which was what, 3 years?
Mm.
The time of tribulation, where the Antichrist
3.5 years.
Okay? Yes, Christ was for 3.5 years. Then the Antichrist comes and it's for 7 years. What's the mystery in that? In terms of those, that time. Like, Christ was 3.5. The Antichrist comes and is like 2 times that of Christ.
I can't tell you that I know. But what I can say is this. I don't know if there's a mystery. What I can say is this. I was telling someone that if you read through Genesis chapter 1, God created the earth in 7 days. Okay, 6 days, then he rested on the seventh. The Bible could have said, after that God created. But it's specific. It says on the second day, on the third day. God is supernatural. He can create everything.
Instant.
So by the time he's doing things in 6 days, he's trying to send a message. Are you with me? That means in these 6 days, there's a hidden message. The end is shown in the beginning. It's called the shadow of the future. Humanity has been on earth for 6,000 years. There's a 1,000-year reign coming.
Amen.
You understand?
Nice. Yes.
Humanity has been on earth for 6,000 years. There's one more reign, 1,000 years, which is the 7-year of rest.
Back to Genesis.
So the very first, you see, because God doesn't just put numbers for the sake of putting them. You understand? So even in there is a significant, and 6 is a number of man. You understand? It's the reason why the devil is given that 666. And as we know, there's a difference between the mark, the number, and the name. Okay? Of those three, we only know the number. You understand? And the Bible says the number, whoever can calculate it, it is the name.
So everything is mystery after this.
Are you with me? So we don't know the name, we don't know the mark. But what we do know is that everyone will need to buy and sell with it. You can't be able to buy and sell. Now, someone walked up to me, asked me, but what if my brother has got the mark and I don't have it? Can I send him to the shop to go and buy things on my behalf? What do you think?
I don't think it will work. I think it's going to be a system that has a lot of conflict, like we said earlier, where every man for himself. You need to be accountable as per you only. Okay? So if we are selling food, okay, and let's say we know that a kilo of rice is enough to take a man through, let's say, 3 days or 4 days or 5 days. That's how much it's weighed. And you can only buy that now. The fact that you've already used let's say your card or whatsoever you're using to purchase at that time, probably there could be a system that keeps depleting. That if you use it to help someone else, it's like you're committing your own suicide, which would force people to think only about themselves and, man, everyone for himself. You find your own way. That's my thought.
I think from what you were saying, Hollywood is like maybe shows representations of some of these things. You see a movie where someone dies and then comes again, and then he loses a life. Something like that was happening in Jumanji. Someone goes. So like he's saying, maybe you have credits to whatever you can purchase. So once you've bought that, that's something, until you can't buy again. So if someone sent you, you're like also, and I think given that everything is going to be that restricted, you don't also want to give away your tokens because you'll starve. It's not abundance, it's not.
But also, I feel like since people will have chosen, like, I've decided to get the mark, man, do your own thing. Yeah. You go and get your own mark
and handle yourself.
And also, I think there'll be different cities. Like, once there'll be designated areas for the people who have the mark, yeah, like a certain way of living for them, because they'll want to make them comfortable to think that they've made the right choice in order for them to rule them. Remember, he'll want to rule over people. Yeah? So, I think once you get the mark. Since it will be a progression, so I feel like there'll be people will get a separation. So you will stay citizens, your brother can't access, help you.
It's actually, take a look at the vaccines. There's a clear divide between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And the other day, my brother was telling me of a friend of his brother was telling me, why don't you just go and get the vaccine? If that's just a vaccine, what about a mark? Why don't you just go and get it? I'm not going to shop for it. Go. Get it.
You see, even now, like, you just use the example of the vaccine. My own sister, the other day, was telling me she had applied for a job, for a teaching job. And one of the core requirements is you need to be vaccinated. So you need to first present that before you can even get a job. Now, this is just on the small, small pangs of pregnancy. Like the Bible says, when the Antichrist is going to in full operation. So what happens now in that place where this is a must? There's no option.
I think you see what most people need to understand, and we're coming to a wind up, but what most people need to understand is what I was explaining to us before we even had this session. I was explaining that time is a very important factor when it comes to interpreting the end times. There are things on the timeline of God that are fixed, they can't be moved. Then there are things that shift based on response. And the return of Christ is amongst those things that I believe has been shifting. It's God's mercy and God's grace. Because Jesus gives a parable and he says there was a master who left his servants in charge and he went away to a faraway country for a long time. In scripture, Peter says that there are some having thought that Christ has delayed. They wonder if this thing is ever going to return. And scripture says, and I'm paraphrasing, scripture says, and he says, the Lord is patient, long suffering, that no one should be lost. So there is, I don't know, there is, we are, you know, if someone stood at the edge of a cliff, that's where we are. You're at the cusp of it. Something is imminent and the entire world can feel it. It's just that people interpret the imminence absolutely different. The church right now is divided based on different denominations. Trust me, when persecution is taking place, denominations are thrown out of the way. Now it's about my brother, my sister. You believe exactly as I do. Believe in Christ, you're with me. You understand? That's how it's going to be. Because the moment a person dies and enters the spirit world, in that world, there's no Catholic, there's no Jew. You are spirit. God is not religious. You understand? All those things stop here on the face of this earth. So we are, you know, it's like a speeding car that is heading a particular direction, and some people are asleep while others are waiting to jump out. Mm-hmm. Huh? And contrary to common belief, this earth is not going to be destroyed. Huh? Mm. There's always talk about the destruction of the earth. Eh? It says there's good, because there's going to be a millennial reign here on earth. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Though later the Bible does say that God creates a new heaven, a new earth, but the Bible is not specific about the destruction of earth, especially by men. Mm. Nuclear weapons and all that. Mm. Right now, European powers are storing up weaponry, preparing for a war that no one seems to know which war it is, but it's like they're preparing for it. Eh? Mm. There's a final war that is coming, a third world war that is called the Armageddon, that will, well, that will end all wars. But I was telling these guys earlier, we shall return with Christ and his 10,000 of his saints. Now that battle will be interesting, because it will be spirits and humans, eh? Mm. And guys,
movie star. Yep. Movie star.
I don't know, as we wind up. Please, you have anything to say? Because
you know, just like the previous session, again, this kind of message and this sharing, it's not to scare people. It's not to create fear, or it's to prepare people for what is here, for what is coming. Like the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, it's just like what the rabbi had shared about the parable of the of this guy who leaves, and then he leaves his servants behind and he's gone for a long time. It's the same thing with the story of the 10 virgins. Understand? The groom leaves the bride, okay, and is gone for some time. He's not sure when he's coming back, because that is up to the father. And that parable is directly from Jewish culture of when a man would get married to a woman, what would happen, okay? He would come and he'd be betrothed and stuff like that, and then he would go back to his father to prepare a room for her in the father's house, which is what Jesus did, okay? Now, when he goes back and he's prepared this room, he has no idea when he's coming back. But in his presence, the bride always has to be ready. I listened to someone's perception of this, and they said, imagine the bride had to be in their gown every day, 24/7, not knowing when your groom would come back. So this is how ready we need to be as a church, that it can happen anytime, because it's only God who knows when Christ will come back. We can try and decipher it and try and look at it from the times and tell the times, but that specific hour, when the rapture will happen and we are gone and the Antichrist starts to operate, we have no idea. So, unless you really want to test your faith and test how strong you are in the Lord and how serious you love the Lord, you can wait for the tribulation.
Will babies be raptured?
Yes, they will.
Babies be raptured?
Yes, they will.
Because they are innocent. The same way that...
But then why does the Bible talk about pregnant women suffering the most during that moment?
There's another tribulation. But like you said... I think it's just a situation. The woke word you're asking about, I think we just have to be woke. Woke in the faith.
Progressive in the faith.
Because any time this is, it's an imminent thing. But in much as the same, people will always say, Christ said he's coming. And we've been hearing that from the time we were kids and we died and what. So there's always that feeling that I have the time. Like they say, he'll come like a thief in the night. It will just be that instant. So the fact that we don't know that time is not enough for you to live recklessly.
But listen, we're winding up. But there are a few signs that will be clear. This man has come. One, clearly, is the transfer of power to the east. Which will be, in this case, China or Russia, more specifically China. Okay? If you've studied the Chinese, they think 100 years ahead. America's, the US's brain, there's been brain drain. The brains that they've had are now retiring. But the generation that is coming in, most of their universities are full of people coming from outside their countries and going back.
Mm-hmm.
okay? It's inevitable. China has, interestingly, been sending all its people to the universities, okay? And then bringing them back to China. China has the fastest computer in the world currently. It has the highest level. I read the other day that the US now know that there's a weapon that the Chinese have that is years ahead of US technology. They haven't yet figured out how they can counter it. Are you with me? All right. Now, that's just military-wise. Politically, the sphere, the geopolitics of Earth is going to change. Okay, decisions are going to be made in a different way. And when that happens, all that will prepare for our global, for that global government that is coming. You can be certain of one thing, that liberties will cease to exist. You've heard of that statement? Even when you own nothing, you'll be happy. Own nothing, be happy. That's what it's going to be. And it's almost like a socialism kind of mentality that is going to seep in. When it seeps in, because we're going to have another session, some other session, we'll see. We'll discuss the role of Africa.
In the end times.
In the end times, because we talk about Europe and all these other countries. But Africa has its heartbeat. It has it. It has a place to play. And there's a lot coming. There's a lot coming. The question is, where will you be? Let's have final statements from each and every one of us, then we close it up. We start with the lady in the house.
Ryan, what I believe as Christians, we should get to a point where we realize that it's not just, like what I began with saying, it's not just the church, it's actually individuals coming together to realize that we are the restraining force, we are the people that are going to make sure that this thing doesn't happen before the time of the Lord, like before it, the Antichrist is not forwarded before his time, so it's not, it's no longer past, it's past church things, it's individuals coming together and understanding each other, so because people no longer understand that the role of one person, what one person can do to the end time.
Imagine, it's interesting to that. Sorry, as you wind up, but I realized, I was explaining that it doesn't make sense anymore for you to say I'm called to business, and your business doesn't play a role in the end times. You understand? Your call has to play as a role. I mean, people are going to be raptured, for God's sakes.
Yes.
It has to play a role.
Yes.
I think that's very important. It has to be aligned to the move of God. Like you're saying, we all have our roles, and it's not enough that... What usually happens is people always attribute everything to conspiracy theories. So you say this, you say anything. I don't want to take... There are some subtle signs you show, maybe a particular vaccine was released and it's called Luciferas, and someone says, that's just maybe, that was that was just, it could have been any other name. Someone is getting marked and then told you can't leave your country unless you have a...
Apparently there's a guy who released a shoe that has a human blood.
Yes. And it was all over the news, and
I was thinking,
and there's so many things.
And they sold out.
Yeah, they did.
Very fast.
So it's, there are signs, and for a non-believer, or just that the Christian on the fence will have to get to this point where they make up their mind where they are. Because I'm sure the fence will also be... there's no way you're going to fall back this side.
Time is coming where the ark gets closed.
There's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. I think for me, my final words would be for people to be not woke, but to be alert. Okay.
No one knows the day or the hour.
Yes, no one knows the day or the hour. And again, for people to go back to the scriptures and know it, and let it be a part of you, because the time is coming, and we are in those times where people will come and show you signs, okay, which will look like a miracle. But please pay attention to where his authority is coming from, because the spirit of the false prophet is also in action. So discerning of spirits in this day and age is very necessary. You know, it's very unfortunate, because you find so-called society icons, redirecting people's minds, of course, in their agenda. There was one interview that I saw, I never fully watched it, but where, for example, Oprah was asking someone, is Christ the only way? You understand? Now, they'll package for you all of this in terms of your good works and everything, and a likeness to what should be, but it's not. But the only way you can tell is if you know your scriptures. And again, like we said in the previous section, if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is now not the time for us to tell you that there is an option. There's no option. It's either you take this or you're here.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've discussed a lot. A lot we could have said, but I want to say this, let me say, the what we call prophetic cycles. Prophetic cycles are, for example, from 1948, Israel became a nation. It's 70 years after that was 2018. A prophetic cycle had just been finished. That means when we entered into 2019, there was going to be an acceleration of certain prophecies, a new set of prophecies. And the last days began, the day Jesus died, resurrected. That's when they began. Okay? But the end time. Now we can say we're really in the end time. So from 2019, especially December, the world has never been the same.
Robert, just sorry. Isn't that what time did America, Donald Trump, recognize Jerusalem as Israel's?
Oh yes. What was it? 2016, I believe? Around 2016-17. Huh? So they played it. Actually, it was quite prophetic. It could have even been 18. I'm not so sure. We'll check that out. But we're in a new cycle of 70 years. Now, believe you me, in these 70 years, the church has to be raptured. There has to be a new empire, okay, a new world order. The Antichrist has to be revealed, and the millennial reign has to begin within these 70 years. So please, don't be thinking, we're over. So start counting your age. No. Don't count those things. So these things can happen extremely quickly. But I have to emphasize that, you see, the Bible says, in those days, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall rise upon you. Now always remember that. A light shall rise upon you. The Lord shall rise upon you. Always remember that. That even though there's a darkness coming upon the face of the earth, light shall rise upon you. In the name of Jesus, amen. May you receive that. God bless you.